Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. There's no better time than August to welcome back the Beach Boys to our region and Mike Love to our show. Love will sing about surfing, California girls, fast cars, and much more on August 15th at the Mehewi in Great Barrington. The Beach Boys will also be in our region August 16th at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut, August 25th at the New York State Fair in Syracuse, November 24th at Proctor's in Schenectady, and March 18th at UPAC in Kingston. Mike Love, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me on again.
Well, those certain dates in our region made me exhausted just reading it. How do you keep the schedule up?
Well, you know, this is our busiest time of year right now in August. And, of course, we've been pretty busy since May when we did 7 weeks. Between May and June, we did 7 weeks in Europe, starting in England and going to Ireland and Scotland and a couple other places in England, then on to the continent to do Paris, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Spain, and ending up in Italy before we headed back to the U.S. to do the 100th anniversary of the Lions Club International, and then on to D.C. for July 4th. Capital Fourth on PBS. We did with the crowd of at least 100,000 people.
A great Beach Boys tradition.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So we did Do It Again, a remake of our single Do It Again, which came out in the late 60s. But we redid it with John Stamos on drums and Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray trading the lead with me. So that was a lot of fun, a lot of energy.
How did you become friends with John Stamos? It's lasted a really long time.
He first came out, he was friends with one of the guys in our group, Jeff Foskett, who was with us for many years. And then he went and performed with my cousin Brian for about 15 years. Now he's back with us for the last couple of years. So Jeff was friendly with John Stamos when John was on General Hospital. He was Blackie on General Hospital. And he came out to our show in Washington, D.C. in 1985 when we had several hundred thousand people come to our concert at the Monument Grounds in D.C. So that was the first time I met John Stamos. And since that time, he's come out whenever he can, whenever he's not busy doing, whether it be TV or movies or producing something, he's been coming out to play drums with us, and we'll back him up on the song Forever, which was written by my cousin Dennis Wilson. And John did that song in one of the Full House episodes where Uncle Jesse got married. So he's been coming out since 1985 to perform with us. And of course we did July 4th with him this year, and we invited him to do the show with us, and then the producer said, well, would he host the show? And he did a great job of doing just that. So we've been friends with John for many years. He had us on Full House, and we get recognized from some of the reruns of the episode of Full House that we've done with him.
Yeah, you wrote about that. Since the last time you did our show, I had the chance to read your memoir, Good Vibrations, My Life as a Beach Boy. And it was interesting to note that you felt that you got a new generation of fans, perhaps, by being on Full House.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. We get recognized by children. And those kids have grown up, too. So a lot of people, a lot of young adults have become aware of the Beach Boys through Full House, which was John Stamos's idea, because he wanted to use that forum to let people know, let people hear and see the Beach Boys and appreciate them like he did. He's been a fan since for the longest time. He told me that he used to drive his bicycle by my parents' house in Cypress, California, in Orange County, and look in the window and see the gold albums on the wall. And that fascinated him. And so here we are, years later, and have that connection. through his appreciation of the Beach Boys, and we were very grateful for that. No one's been a bigger proponent for the Beach Boys and our music than John Stamos.
Another thing you touched on in the book, the Beach Boys were always road warriors, but you very much drove the band to start getting into some tertiary markets and, you know, really stretching out on the road. Why was that important to you? Why did you want to go to places where the band really hadn't been before?
You know, if you go to New York, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, they're great. And there's some, you know, tremendous venues and great places and all that. But there's just so much going on in those major markets that you're just another one of the many things that are going on. But when you go to a smaller venue in a, as you say, tertiary market, it's special. I find that the people really appreciate it and enjoy it. And there's just a kind of a, it's really nice to be able to go to some place that, you know, maybe it's a place you've never been before, or maybe it's a place you've become fond of over the years. Like, every year, believe it or not, we look forward to coming to New England. I mean, we'll do the casino in Hampton Beach, you know, almost every year. We've done it originally in the 60s, and here we are, you know, 50 years later, selling out the Hampton Beach Casino, which is, you know, a beachfront area in New England. And also, we're sold out already, I believe, in Hyannis. So there are places around that are just, you know, very special to us. And we'll stay in Boston for like a week. Before we come to Mahawi, we will have been a week in the Boston area. So, and then we go on to Richfield, Connecticut, before we go into to the Beacon in New York City. So, but it's just a real special thing to be able to go into the nice little performing arts centers and theaters and some of these places that don't get everything. And I think it just becomes just a little bit more special for the local people.
How do you decide what you want to play on a given night, given that the back catalog is just so vast and, you know, you could leave a lot out?
Well, I like to start out retro and energetic. You know, I like to start with the surfing songs, Surfing Safari, Surfing USA, Catch a Wave, you know, and so on. So I like to start with that energetic, you know, the surfing songs, and then maybe the car songs, you know. So I like to get, you know, get retro to begin with. I think those songs have a lot of energy and bring back a lot of memories for a lot of people.
We'll all be gone for the summer. We're on safari to stay. Tell the teacher we're surfing USA.
And then we'll get going, do, you know, things like from the Pet Sounds album, or maybe our a cappella version of Their Hearts Were Full of Spring, which was originally done by the Four Freshmen. And we learned that before we became the Beach Boys. So we'll bring it all the way down to just the four-part harmonies in that beautiful song, which is a gorgeous ballad about lasting love. And so, you know, through trial and error, you kind of find out which songs complement the next song and the next song after that. And so we just, and thematically and conceptually and emotionally, what songs go together best. Like, for instance, God Only Knows, a beautiful song that Cousin Carl Wilson sang on the Pet Sounds album, but we lost him in 1988 in February when he passed away from lung cancer. But we have the video of Carl singing, and we back him up. And so, and we also have a video of Dennis Wilson, his brother, who passed away in 1983, of Do You Want to Dance, which is a great old rock and roll song that that we re-recorded, we covered. And so those guys are represented in our show. And so it's we make it as comprehensive as we possibly can and inclusive as well with the videos that we have. And so it's a pretty neat thing. But we like I said, through trial and error, we find out which songs complement each other the best. So we're constantly fine-tuning it, and depends on where we are. If we're in a beautiful theater, we'll get to be able to do just absolutely everything we'd want to do. If we're in a fairgrounds, we might not be able to do some of the subtler things we can do in a performing arts center. So it's just a matter of venue specific for us. And from there, we know that we're going to do all of our hit songs. I've always had the idea that people come to see you based on what they know from you. And what most people know from us is our bigger hit singles, you know, whether it be California Girls or I Get Around or Fun, Fun, Fun or Help Me, Rhonda or Good Vibrations or Kokomo, which is our biggest selling single of our career. That was 1988, 22 years after Good Vibrations was number one. So we have a lot of music, and we by trial and error, we find out what songs complement each other the best, and that's what we try to do every night.
One thing I learned from reading your book was that in the early days when you joined the band, and we're talking over, 55 years ago, it's fair to say maybe that you were scuffling a little bit. You were working for your family company, weren't right. exactly sure if the band was going to take off. Do you ever think about what you would have done if the Beach Boys hadn't caught on the way they had?
You know, I probably would have done something in real estate, because I like the idea of getting a house that needs some attention and refurbishing it and stuff like that, remodeling it and so on. So I come from my father's family. They had a sheet metal factory where they did kitchen equipment. So I was a sheet metal apprentice when I was 19 years old, let's say. And I also worked in a gas station and supported a young family. Like I was married and I had two young children very early in the 60s. And so I would have probably done something along those lines, remodeling houses and who knows where it would have led me from there. But I like that kind of thing. And, working with your hands and tools and things like that was part of my, father's side of the family. But where I got the musical talent from my mom's side of the family. And, I'm first cousins with Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson. And we grew up together singing together at family gatherings. And so it was very natural for us to gravitate towards music. And nobody had ever done a song about surfing. There were bands they called surf bands that were instrumental primarily. But we were the first to do a song that became a hit on the radio. Our first song being Surfin', that was our first recording. And that became a hit. And then Surfin' Safari came out, maybe 6 months after that on Capitol Records. And that began a run at Capitol Records, which resulted in a lot of success, a lot of single records that were noteworthy and to this day are appreciated. So it was just a natural occurrence of a family hobby that became a profession and a pretty long-lasting one at that.
Okay, I have just one more question for you, and it's a little bit of a weird one, if you're okay with that. You have a trademark of usually wearing a hat. So how many hats do you own?
Well, 200 or 300. Just about every place that I go, there somebody will give me a cap or a ball cap and stuff like that. And I have other types of hats too, So, So, yes, it's kind of a, you know, I have them in all different colors, matching all different kind of shirts and outfits and stuff. And so it is kind of like a, become a trademark after all these years.
Do you travel with many of them?
I travel with about maybe 15 or 20 of them.
And then you'll just decide that day which one to go with?
Exactly. We dress according to the color of the day, and we derive that color of the day from the planet that the day is named after. Like Monday is the moon's day, Tuesday is Mars' day, and Martis, or Mardi in French, Martis in Spanish, but all the days of the week are named after planets. Saturn's day, Sun's day, Moon's day, Tuesday's Mars' day, Wednesday's Mercury's day, Thursday's Jupiter's day, and Friday's Venus' day. And so each one of those planets has a different color associated with it. So we aren't uniform, but we all will dress with some kind of white on Friday and black or purple on Saturday, and Sunday's a sun color. So it's kind of an interesting way to keep not uniform but coordinated. And and not to get boring. And, you know, like if you're traveling, if you're going out for a month at a time, are you going to just take one kind of color? No, it makes it more interesting for me, I think, to vary the color by the day, which is kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, you have a chance to see the Beach Boys in all their various colors coming to our region August 15th at the Mehewi in Great Barrington. Also, the 16th of August at Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut. August 25th at the New York State Fair in Syracuse. November 24th at Proctor's in Schenectady. And March 18th at UPAC in Kingston. We've been speaking with Mike Love, the lead singer for the Beach Boys. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on the program once again.
I'm Ian Pickus, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.